You're listening to a CNA podcast.
Hi guys, get used to that music. You will hear it every weekday around dinner time in this region. Our new bulletin, East Asia Tonight, is a unique member of the CNA family. Here's why.
Good evening, I'm Otelia Edwards. Tonight's top stories from East Asia.
East Asia has been called a center of gravity in the Asia Pacific. It's home to China, Japan, and South Korea, some of the world's largest economies and most influential nations. The region's spectacular growth and sway have helped it lead headlines more often than not, so it's getting some special treatment. I'm Teresa Tang. In this episode, we put the spotlight on East Asia and how our new program is going to give viewers a different perspective of it. Joining me is the host of East Asia Tonight, Otelia Edwards, and supervising editor Jeremy Ko, who is one of CNA's former Beijing correspondents. Hey, guys.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Welcome. I'm really excited to talk about this. Before we get into the meat of things, I want you to describe East Asia. Give me the best adjective that you've got, Otelia.
Oh, where do I even begin? I mean, so many adjectives, but I think the very first one that comes to mind would be indispensable because, you know, as you've mentioned, it's the region that boasts some of the world's largest economies. Therefore, it underscores the importance of staying informed. That's one. It's also going to be in depth, where we will be exploring East Asian issues thoroughly. It's also timely. It's going to be up to date, you know, with minute by minute reporting with the latest that's coming out of the region. Engaging, of course, and forward thinking, because we're also going to be exploring emerging trends, advancements in technology, innovation, challenges, the works.
Wow. Okay, Jeremy, yes. Can you talk those?
I might have already said it already.
I think you said everything. Let me think. Okay, I think, you know, if you want me to use an adjective to describe it, I would say high octane, because this is like the world on steroids, right? The changes are taking place so fast in this region. You look at China, for instance, with their cashless payment. That happened in China a few years ago, but that really took off in a big way after China started that. So it's so fast changing. You look at Japan, Korea as well. Almost every day is different. If you've not traveled in the region for quite a while, you go back to Beijing, for instance, like me, when I go back to Beijing, so much has changed. Mm. I mean, I left the city about 7 years ago. New skyscrapers have come up, you know, wow. Shops, mom and pop businesses have forgotten, you know, have disappeared as well. It's super, super fast.
Wow. Okay. So my adjective is overwhelming.
It is.
Well, our rehearsals are pretty overwhelming.
Okay. So Otelia, you've been part of this network for decades. And I want to know, why are you excited about this project on a personal level? I know it started with a retreat, didn't it? That seems like a nice way to get things rolling.
Oh, yeah.
Yoga retreat.
No, yoga was not involved. Yeah, it was very intense. Jeremy and our East Asia team were, you know, huddled together for 2 days. And I would say about 12 hours on average, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and it was intense in the sense that we were not there for fun. I mean, we're really there to hash out, you know, what our mission statement is going to be, what the show is going to feel, sound, and be like. It's also deciding, you know, who are the guests. And I mean, we could have done it in Singapore, but I mean, the reason why we decided to do it elsewhere is the fact that when you are overseas, you know, you're not really distracted by the phone or your family or, you know, that sort of thing. So it's like 100% full on. And that was interesting because I think that was my first overseas retreat.
Oh.
Me too, for CNA, that's the first.
Oh.
And also beyond just, you know, huddling together, it's also get to know each other session as well. We know each other in the newsroom, but we've never really worked with each other for most of the team anyway, because it involves not just the East Asia team, but also international desk as well. So those are our very important partners. So it was a nice time, very intense, but we got to know each other a lot better.
But I wouldn't say important partners, I'd say important friends.
Friends, yes.
And I'm also excited because the team gels really well. I mean, I work with really great people. I mean, I can name names, but in a nutshell, everybody, they're hardworking, but they're also easygoing. They're open to ideas. So it wasn't like, oh, should I say this? You know, like sometimes with certain people, you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't say this. I shouldn't be so open. But with the team, it's been awesome so far. So that sets the tone for everything.
Okay, I'm sold. Maybe I should join you guys.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So Jeremy, you've spent a lot of time in East Asia, as we talked about, you know, as China correspondent, traveling also on your own time. Editorially, how important is it to distinguish this part of the world?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, this part of the world changes really, really fast. It's not like, you know, Europe, where if you've not gone to a city in 10 years, it still kind of looks the same. Maybe some new shops and everything. But in China, you know, the cities some cities are, entire neighborhoods are raised. You go back there, there are new skyscrapers coming up every day, you know, kind of stuff. It's so unique, so fast. And also importantly, this is our first new bulletin in many, many years. So obviously we're launching this because there's demand and interest for us to tell the Asian story well. You've heard of the old saying where, you know, if America sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. Mm. But now with China's economic rise as well, what happens there also affects the rest of the world. But it's not just China, you know, Japan is a global leader in automotive, robotics and electronics industries, and also one of the largest economies in the world. Korea, you don't have to talk about it. K-drama, you know, K-pop, etc. They've taken the world by storm as well.
And to add to that as well, like for instance, you know, if you want to cover stories in China, you have to have what they call guanxi, which is a relationship networking.
Yes.
And our correspondents basically in these cities have been working the ground very hard, establishing that relationship, you know, gaining the trust so that when there's an opportunity for an interview that comes by, you know that they can secure the guests easily. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you really need boots on the ground. I mean, you can cover a China story from Hong Kong, from Taipei, like other news networks. I shall name names. They have done that for several reasons. I mean, probably the visas and everything as well. But we have people on the ground in these regions. So I think that helps us to tell the Asian story a lot better than hopefully some of our competitors.
And also, I mean, just again, to add to that, we've also decided before we choose to put a story out, we've got, it's a 1 hour bulletin. The three words that matter to us is why it matters. So before we even want to cover a story, we ask ourselves that and why it matters to the viewers. And I think that's very, very important.
Ateli, it is so rare that I see you in the office because I'm here really early. I'm here at 4 a.m. You come in once I leave. But there was one day a couple of months ago where we bumped into each other and I asked you, how are things going? And you said they are busy. And I know you've immersed yourself in East Asia, gathering stories, prepping special series, huddling with the correspondents. Can you point to one country that you're the most excited about?
Well, I wouldn't say one country in the sense that because we're all interconnected, all the countries are interconnected, right? So before, or rather right now, if America sneezes, everyone catches a cold. And very soon, who knows, it could be China that sneezes and everyone catches a cold. So basically, the region is very important. I mean, just to draw attention to the fact that these are all rising powerhouses. We're talking about growing economies and innovation. There are job opportunities. It's a constantly evolving landscape and very complex as well. So yeah, our job is to really dive deep into each of these topics and to see how it affects the rest of the region. Also, we have to understand that the East Asia plays a very big role in terms of shaping the world stage. I mean, in terms of politics, economics, culture, as you've mentioned, K-pop, right? I think K-pop, I've got some numbers here. The cultural K-pop wave is valued at over $20 billion in 2023. So wow. It shows as well that there is massive interest, you know, in the cultural aspect of these countries. And also, yeah, like, we were thinking of, we've got sort of like a series banked. One of the interesting things was I never thought like rare earth elements could be interesting. Rare earth, come on, it's just metals, right?
But it turned out really interesting.
It turned
right?
out really yeah. interesting that, you know, there are 17 metals and why are they crucial? Because we need it on our handphones, our cars, you know, and everything. And why, for instance, we have all the maritime disputes and all of that because, you know, everybody wants a piece of all the rich natural resources that we can find in these areas. So, yeah, there are just too many interesting stories out there. Can't really pinpoint to one in particular.
So, Jeremy, Ateli is manning Mission Control for East Asia Tonight in the studio here in Singapore. But it's going to be the correspondents who are going to be on the front lines of these stories. Tell me some of the themes they're going to tackle.
Well, Ateli has shared some tidbits on what's coming up. We have correspondents fanning across the world over the last few months just to prepare stories for the launch as well. Like, for instance, we have a special theme series like one on wars as well. Not the kind of wars you're thinking about, you know, wars, Israel-Gaza conflict, Ukraine-Russia kind of war, but more unconventional wars. As for what those are, I will leave you to watch the show to find out more. We also have upcoming stories about how, what a day in the life of a young worker in Japan is like. You know, you've all read stories about how the corporate cultures in these East Asian societies is so crazy. You know, you work really hard, you work super long hours,
yes.
And after work, you join your bosses for drinks and everything, and you just basically you sold your soul and your life to a company and stuff like that. But is it really the case right now? So our Japanese correspondent, Michio, is going to find out whether that's really the case in Japan right now. And we also have an upcoming story about young job seekers in South Korea. Let's have a listen.
I'm mainly applying for overseas sales positions and also positions such as strategic planning and purchasing sales management. Recently, I've struggled with artificial intelligence tests and personality assessments, which resulted in many rejections.
Employment is such a universal issue, Otelli, and I'm really looking forward to that series in particular. That's all sort of linked to population too, right? Demographics. How are you guys going to dig deeper into that topic?
Well, just to add on as well to what Jeremy talked about, the work culture is just intense, right? And in China as well, they have this 996 work culture. I'm not sure if you've heard of it,
no.
But it's basically working from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week.
Oh my
gosh. It's supposedly illegal.
Yes.
But in order to thrive in a country where the population is massive, I mean, if you don't do it, then
someone else will.
Yes. You know, someone else will be getting that fatter paycheck. And then from population, I mean, we're talking about, you know, like South Korea, right? I mean, there's a lot of talk about it has the world's lowest population. Are they going to be wiped out in decades to come? Something like the Black Death, for instance.
Yes.
So these are issues that we are digging deeper into it, questioning whether modern slavery, I mean, is that, you know, the government, you know, do they need to scale back, you know, just to get the population numbers up again? Because a lot of times, I mean, even interviewing the young people, I mean, they're trying to manage their work life. I mean, where is there the time to go dating or, you know, even have babies?
Yes.
So, yeah, we can't give away too much, but we are going to be diving deep into these issues. Another topic that is quite interesting, because we talk about how we are forward thinking with East Asia Tonight, we're trying to look at trends. So microdrama has become really massive in China. So it's basically sort of like watching television series, but except that the clips are really, really short. And it has caught on massively in China. So the thing is that could the West be copying them next? Listen in for a short excerpt from Si Hui, our correspondent.
Each episode only lasts about 1 to 2 minutes. Now, since the majority of users are female, the protagonist is usually a woman, and it could revolve around themes like female empowerment and also themes like romance. Now, most of these episodes also tend to end with a cliffhanger or twist, leaving viewers hooked. And after watching around 10 episodes, the plot gets a bit juicier, and that's when the platform will generate a message requesting that I pay to continue watching the rest of the episodes.
So you've heard that it's really interesting. I mean, it's not something that I can imagine, like, why would I find it particularly interesting? I mean, why would I, you know, like a minute dramas, I don't know. How is it different from just watching something from TikTok or YouTube?
Oh.
So these are the issues that we are going to explore.
Yeah, that's exciting. I've never heard of these, actually, so I will definitely
time
tune into
to watch them.
So we have
I'll watch East Asia Tonight.
Okay. So East Asia, Jeremy, is home to some of the world's oldest civilizations, but it's also at the forefront of the future. I'm actually working on an episode next week that looks at electric vehicles in China and how they're really charging ahead with super lofty ambitions. How much is East Asia going to shape the world of tomorrow? Big question, I know, but...
Big question, but I would say in a big way as well. I mean, we all know that East Asia is home to several of the world's major metropolises. Beijing, Hong Kong, Tokyo, Seoul, Shanghai, Shenzhen, Taipei, Osaka, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
You get the gist. So, I mean, in the 19th and 20th century, much of the world has been shaped by the West. We have European colonial borders, the US dollar is in play in much of the world, Hollywood culture, etc., etc. But as Otelli mentioned, you know, Chinese microdramas are also catching on in a big way, maybe to the rest of the world at some point. We also have students learning Chinese and Japanese, entrepreneurs launching business in the cities I mentioned earlier, South Korean pop culture, K-pop, Train to Busan, shows like that. So it's a region that's really influencing how the world lives, works, and play. And also, you have Western officials, business people, scholars touring this region just to learn how to build large-scale, world-class infrastructure. Mm. You've heard about China's Belt and Road project that's globe-spanning across Europe, Africa, blah, blah, blah. China spending lots of money building really massive infrastructure projects as well. So you have this East Asia that's increasingly a very important part of the world economy, and some experts will argue that it would shape the way globalization unfolds in the years to come.
Because as it stands, right, just to give some stats here, 33% of global GDP, that's what East Asia contributes. So that means we're talking about 1/3 of all the goods and services in the world coming from that area. It's also a manufacturing giant. East Asia contributes 40% of global manufacturing output. Therefore, it's supplying finished goods and products to us. So it is a very important region. And obviously, because it affects the world, there is a huge appetite and demand for, you know, what's happening in that region.
You look at the labels in your clothes, how many are made in China, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm really glad you brought up those figures, Otelli, because there's a lot of money in East Asia. It is one of the most successful regional economies in the world. But how much will business markets, how much are they going to feature on the show?
So, for instance, with East Asia Tonight, there is not going to be any specific like business block. Instead, we've decided if it's a story, a business story that is big enough that warrants more deep diving into the issue, obviously we have our business experts who will come in and talk about it. But we don't want to cover a business story just for the sake of it. I mean, we want to cover a story because it makes sense. And it's so that it's not just to the business person out there. It could be a student that's watching it. It could be a parent, you know, it could be anybody watching it. And there is going to be an impact. And also to give you an idea, a sense as well, like how China is an innovation leader, they filed nearly 700,000 international patent applications in 2022. That's according to the World Intellectual Property Organization. So you can see that China is at the forefront of anything to do with, you know, tech and innovation.
Otelli, Jeremy, this all sounds like appointment viewing to me. Really exciting stuff coming from you, from your team. It's going to be a jam-packed hour, I think. Before we go, what do you hope viewers will take away after spending 60 minutes with you?
I just want anybody who is watching it to have one takeaway at the end of that 1 hour, and not to walk away and say, what did I get out of it? But that one key takeaway, I think, would be a win, yeah, for us.
Yes. You mentioned jam-packed hour. It is indeed a jam-packed hour because we have so many stories in East Asia. We have a problem, actually, to decide what to put on our show. So we have to decide why a certain story matters as well. But we all have information overload these days, information coming from diverse sources. So we want this to be a one-stop shop for you to understand everything there is about East Asia, important trends and issues as well. Not just about what's making the headlines around the world, like missile launches and stuff like that, but also softer stories that normally wouldn't make the news. Like, for instance, a few days ago, there was a story trending on Chinese social media about a woman who sweeps 20 to 30 tombs a day on behalf of her clients. So on our show, we can delve deeper into issues like, why is this happening? You know, it's very convenient to hire tomb sweepers, but what does this say about the culture there, a very Confucianist culture, when people don't even make the effort on special occasions like the Qingming Festival? So these are things that we can take a deep dive and to really help you to understand what's making the news and what's ticking in East Asia.
So a lot of care, a lot of thought into this program. Thanks so much, guys, for taking us behind the scenes of East Asia Tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa.
And a reminder that stories from our network of CNA correspondents can be seen on TV every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Singapore, Hong Kong time. And you can also find them, as well as clips from the East Asia Tonight program, on YouTube as well. The team behind this week's episode is Saya Nguyen, Clara Ong, Crispina Robert, Craig Dale, and myself, Teresa Tang. Thanks for listening.